This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we've been discussing, a week ago today, there was a large explosion at ChemTool in Rockton, Illinois. The fire, containing hazardous industrial chemicals, burned throughout the week, and as we just heard, it's still burning. Firefighters decided not to use water to douse the flames for fear of runoff into the nearby Rock River, and residents near the plant were displaced from their homes for several days. That evacuation order was lifted Friday, and residents are going back to survey the damage, but there are still lingering questions about air quality in and around their homes and debris from the explosion containing lead and other pollutants. There are also a lot of questions about what's next, and how the company will be held accountable. We're joined now by two Rockton residents who evacuated during the fire. Rachel Hall lives about 1 mile from the ChemTool plant. Rachel, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Evan Shopsky, who lives about 1.5 miles from the plant. Evan, welcome to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we also asked WNIJ reporter Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco to stick around as well. Juan Pablo, thank you for making a little extra time for us today on the 21st.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, we also want to hear from you, especially if you're in Rockton or Rockford in the area. Whether or not you were affected by the evacuation order, give us a call, 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. Maybe you live in a nearby town and saw the smoke or heard the explosion at the Rockton plant. Give us a call, 800-222-9455. Or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. Rachel, I'm going to begin with you. How close is your home to the ChemTool plant?
It's about a mile away.
And so
I was within the 1 mile radius.
You were okay. So, were you home on Monday? Did you see or hear the sort of initial explosion?
Yeah, that's what I woke up to. I wasn't sure what was going on, loud fireworks or something. So I went outside and saw the giant black plume of smoke going up over my house. So then I ran inside and told my kids.
Yeah.
Well, there's this giant black plume of smoke. I have no idea what's going on. So then a neighbor came out and told me it was ChemTool.
Okay.
So then we went right back inside.
I was going to ask, were you generally aware of this plant? I mean, it's only a mile away, but I don't know if you did you drive past it? Is it something was in the back of your mind?
They have another building that is like directly across from my subdivision that I think that's more like a corporate office. And this is more off the beaten path that I didn't know this existed here. No.
Wow. Okay.
It's farther away from the corporate offices.
Sure. Evan, what about you? What was your initial experience of this fire? How did you learn about it on Monday?
Well, I went outside just to let my dog out and looked over just my backyard. And obviously I saw the same giant black plume smoke. It wasn't directly over my house, so I didn't see it over me, but it's very visible and it was very strong. And it was very dark too. It was like darker than a tire fire. So that was what I saw. And it just kind of stunk like normal soot smell, you know? But aside from that, I didn't really hear any major explosions, but I could hear kind of the secondary explosions from barrels and things like that going off.
And what went through your head? What was the first thing you thought when you saw that?
I mean, I'm from the age of where I watched 9/11 videos in my classroom in fifth grade. So, I mean, honestly, that was like, it felt like a 9/11 kind of situation. I know it pales in comparison, obviously, in lives lost and things like that. But it was just wild to see something so large scale happen in a town of less than probably 9,000 people.
Yeah.
So, like surreal.
Surreal. Yeah, certainly. So, Rachel, I understand you decided to evacuate not because of what you heard from the authorities, but you just got a call from a friend. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, before I ever heard, well, I was never like contacted by authorities or anything. And before I ever heard anything like about the evacuation, I had friends that were calling me saying like, you need to get out. My friend's a biochemist and she called me freaking out. Like, you have to get out of there immediately. You're in immediate danger. So we just did that. We left with nothing pretty much and just evacuated to my parents' house in Roscoe. And then as we were driving into their neighborhood, the smoke shifted and started going over their house.
Wow. So did you end up having to evacuate again from your shelter location?
We didn't really have anywhere else to go, so we just stuck it out there. It was at least better than here.
Yeah.
You know.
Juan Pablo, I wonder, is that something, is there a commonality you heard from talking to people? Did they feel like they had adequate communication from government officials in terms of what to do, how to respond?
It's hard to say. And it's, you know, it's like Rachel says, that was the case for some people and it wasn't the case for other people. So law enforcement went around that 1 mile evacuation site and, you know, did their best to contact as many people as they could to let them know that they were in an evacuation zone. Whether or not everybody was contacted, that's another case.
So Evan, I'm going to pick back up with you. Where did you evacuate to?
We went to my in-laws about 8 miles south. They live out just outside of Rockford on Rockton Avenue. So we got to go there, but they also were directly under the smoke. You know, when it's a 60 mile long plume, my friends that live down in Sandwich, Illinois saw it. When it's that long, you know, there's not many places you can go because we only have south to go from here if we don't have any family or anything up in Wisconsin. So we went there. They were obviously, you know, super welcoming and let us stay for the 4 days that we needed to. But we were the same as Rachel. You know, we grabbed basically nothing, an outfit or two, because they didn't say anything to us. We kind of went and looked on Facebook and found out for ourselves.
You know, and yeah, so I mean, I understand a lot of residents are sharing information on Facebook and other social media. What was your experience? Did you feel like you were getting adequate communication from authorities or?
No, not at all. Not only that, but then we had to kind of fight for press conferences just to get updates. On Thursday, there was zero updates planned, which was the inaugural day of OSD. So we were, you know, expecting, hey, everything's going to be fine. You can go back to your homes. OSD is going to go off. Well,
for people who are not familiar, what is OSD?
I'm sorry, it's Old Settlers Days. It's kind of a big draw to Rockton. It's a country music most of the time, and something that a lot of people, thousands around the area, go to. So it was technically 1.2 miles from the center of the Chemtool plant, but the original evacuation zone had it included. So, you know, I was included in the original evacuation zone too. But on Thursday, instead of a press conference at like 3 p.m., they gave us an updated evacuation zone using a specific 1 mile radius that then excluded Old Settlers Days, excluded my home. But because the way that it was done, you know, zero press conference, they didn't say why it was done that way. It was just kind of, here's the new map. It really felt like they were just trying to protect their investment basically in Old Settlers Days and not trying to protect the health of the residents.
Hmm. Juan Pablo, I wonder if this came up in your reporting at all. Other residents concerned about this, or what city officials said? Go ahead. Yeah.
Sure. So Evan's right. There was kind of a change when it came to the map of the evacuation zone. What public officials were saying was that the reason for that change was because that after monitoring the fire and the way the plume was moving, all of those things taken into consideration made it so their evaluation said OSD was safe to go on.
All right, listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, reporter with WNIJ, who's been covering the big Chemtool fire in Rockton. We're also speaking with two residents who evacuated during the fire. Rachel Hall lives about a mile from the plant, and Evan Shopsky lives about 1.5 miles from the plant. We'd love to hear from you, 800-222-9455, especially if you live nearby or might have been affected, saw the smoke, heard the explosion. Give us a call, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. So, Rachel, are you back in your home now?
Yeah, I'm back.
What did you find when you got home? What was it like?
Well, like before we were able to evacuate, me and my son were both like super lightheaded and dizzy and like nauseous, and both got really bad headaches like quickly, just from the few times that we opened the door to look at the plume of smoke. And so then staying at my parents' house, it wasn't that bad, but once we came back home, just instant smell of chemicals in the house. I can't describe, you know, what it is, but and instantly like confusion, dizziness, nausea, light, just feeling really lightheaded and like not right. I haven't noticed that with my daughter, but you know, she's three, so she's like that anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there visible, like, so is there soot in the yard?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, is that, like, there's no visible anything, like, that there's no, but of course, there's the, I think they're called particulates, right? Like, they're all, that's all over here. I mean, this was directly in the path, and so, I mean, but there's nothing visible, like, debris or anything. Chunks, I think that got kind of swept up and over and further south into Rockford.
Evan, what about you? What are you back home, and what did you see when you got there? Evan, I think we might have lost Evan there. Let's we have a caller on the line. Andrew is on the line from Roscoe, Illinois. Andrew, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, I actually went and witnessed the fire at the location, and the flames were shooting approximately 300 feet in the air. You know, obviously the huge black smoke and whatnot. I mean, we made national news with this incident, but it was pretty incredible to see.
Did you? Are you? Do you live in a place where you had to evacuate, or?
No.
Okay.
We're far enough away from where the chemtool plant is. It's 3 miles, in the way that the wind was blowing. You know, when I woke up in the morning, it appeared as though it was gonna start pouring rain. I mean, it was almost black outside.
Wow, fascinating. And did you? I mean, you said you went and saw it, looked at it. Is it something where you could feel the heat? Were you close enough to actually?
No. I was probably quarter mile.
Wow. Okay.
From the actual, I mean, I was right about where Dollar General is, which is across from where the chemtool plant's at.
Okay, Andrew, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
And
we're going to go now to Dave. Is on the line from 6 miles away from Rockton. Dave, thank you for calling in.
Yes, Brian. Dave Winters, I was a state representative involved with the redevelopment of that property, turning it from a former, they made paper mill machinery, and that's one reason they had the rail access, was the heavy machinery. It was used for lumber storage, pretty low value operation, and Jim Aitkins, the owner of Chemtool at that time, came in and put in millions of dollars to revamp it. Chemtool supplied all of John Deere's and Caterpillar's lubricants, oils, and greases. So every Caterpillar tractor that you saw, or bulldozer, excavator, all had Chemtool grease and oil in them as they left the factory.
Interesting. So you're saying a big economic impact at the loss of this plant, potentially.
Yeah, it was a great reuse of some enormous buildings that were basically abandoned. And it was a tremendous economic benefit to the Rockton, South Lloyd area. Hundreds of people employed, and pretty technical jobs, pretty well paid. Another interesting fact that I've heard is you're saying that the fire department was not using water because of fear of runoff. But the basic thing is water flows under grease and oil. The grease and oil float, and all you do is make them more liquid, and they float further than without water. So the foam is required. Water really doesn't do much of anything in an oil fire.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate that context. Evan, or I should say Rachel, what questions do you have now? What is still lingering for you about the fire? What questions do you want answered?
Sorry, I think Evan's logging back in now, but can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you great. Go ahead. Were there questions still in your mind? What do you want to know? What's next for you?
So, number one, how safe is the water, obviously? Our drinking water, and I mean, what we bathe in and all of that. and obviously the air quality. Like, I know that the EPA is here testing, but I don't know. I think it needs to be independently verified by other, you know, agencies. I don't know what that looks like, but I have a giant garden that I worked so hard on and was so proud of this year that I am definitely not gonna eat anything out of. That's, you know, questionable. And then in the future, can we still use this soil to garden with? And the crops that this plume went over, are those usable? I mean, they're not. They can't be, you know. So I'm just worried about accountability and, you know, it being transparent completely. And, you know, the correct people being held accountable and correct, you know, measures taken.
Yeah. You know? Evan Shopsky, we have just less, maybe about 30 seconds left in our conversation. What is next for you? What questions do you still have? I understand there's a community meeting tonight.
Yeah, sorry about dropping off there quick. I must have had an internet issue. So there is a community meeting tonight at Mary's Market on Bluestem Road in Roscoe. It is from 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's also going to be live streamed on the Citizens for ChemTool Accountability Facebook page. I'm trying to take as active of a role as possible, you know. I moved to Rockton with my backyard being my daughter and my son's elementary school. You know, I had set down roots here to where I want to be in this community. And now it's, I have to bag up my grass with a mask on. I have to call a specific company to dispose of it. I have to, you know, keep my kids inside. We just finished a project on our front porch. You know, we chalk painted our front porch. Yeah. Want to have the kids outside and we can't. So I want to make sure that the government helps us instead of helping ChemTool, because I already saw, you know, Winnebago County Chairman Chiarelli was trying to get ChemTool back in the area. And it's like, you know, the fire's still burning and he's already talking about having them rebuild. And it's just, it's frustrating to see profits put over people.
Evan Shopsky and Rachel Hull both live in Rockton near the ChemTool plant where there was a fire. Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco is a reporter with WNIJ. Thank you all so much for being with us. The 21st will continue after this. Stay with us.